Поехал из ярмарки, ухри купец, ухри купец.
Hey, welcome to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. It's going to be a fun time today because today I'm actually sitting in seat 3A on a 747 on my way to Moscow. That's right, we're doing this podcast live and on board a flight across the Atlantic Ocean. We're going to be talking about some great things today. But before we take off, I'm going to give you some of the intro, and then I'm probably going to have to shut this down for a minute. And then when we get up in the air, I'll come back and I'll tell you about some great things we're talking about. Getting comfortable for my trip, I have my iPod with me, my new N95 Nokia phone, my laptop, my headphones, and I'm set. Today we're going to be talking about Apple, some trading ideas for Apple, Crocs, a follow-up to that wonderful trade, but a debacle for the longs. We're going to talk about some problems in the IPO market, some mutual funds for safety, and since I'm going to Russia and Northern Europe, what about we talk about some of the countries in that area? I think you'd be surprised about some of that. So, what I want you to do is buckle your seatbelts and make sure that you are comfortable for this ride on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
And welcome aboard again. This is Andrew Horowitz, the Disciplined Investor Podcast. And we're not going to have the greatest sound quality today because we're not in a studio like we usually are recording this, but hopefully we're going to have a conversation, maybe a personal conversation about investments. Pretend that you're in the seat next to me and I'm talking with you. We're sharing some of those warm peanuts and sitting up front in the plane having just a grand old time on our way over to Moscow. Right now I think we're somewhere about 35,000 feet in the air, somewhere over the Atlantic. And what we're going to talk about is some things that I think you'll find of interest. First of all, thank you so much. As always, I do want to thank you for moving us up the iTunes list. That's really important to me. One of the great things I find is that we're adding listeners every day, every single day. There's more and more listeners to this podcast, and my blog is getting a tremendous amount of great feedback. If you would do me a favor, though, if you have the opportunity to go over to iTunes, if you have an iTunes account, go over to the Disciplined Investor Podcast on the iTunes software and give us a reference. You know, give us a good word. Say that, you know, we're doing whatever it is right and that you enjoy it, because that's the way that we can expand this. And at the same time, of course, we can keep ourselves in the spotlight on the iTunes network. But what I wanted to talk about is, first of all, some housekeeping again. Let me tell you that if you are interested in following along my journey through Northern Europe, we're going to start off in Moscow, go to St. Petersburg, Copenhagen, head on over to Belgium and a few other places. I'm going to be posting daily commentary as well as some really fun things about the trip. I've been doing this for years, and I got a whole fleet of people that like to travel along with me kind of like virtually. It's a bit of a voyeuristic adventure in travel, but I think it's a lot of fun. And I do a lot of photography too, so you can head on over there. My main photography site, if you're interested in taking a look at imagesbyandrew.com. I have a couple of award winners. I've been in a lot of magazines, kind of my hobby that is on the side to give me a little bit of an unwinding from the high tension and the high excitement and anxiety of investing. So go there and follow along, as well as you can go to the Disciplined Investor blog site, and there is a link there as well. So let's talk about Apple. It's a great trading idea that I've had. Apple has been on an amazing, amazing run, and primarily that's because, of course, of the iPhone. But you have to wonder if all the hype is going to be able to be lived up to, because you have to question about all the fanatics. And every time I see fanatics and people really getting overly crazy about something, I start to wonder if it's really something that's going to be really long-term beneficial. You know, Apple, the stock of Apple in regard to the iPhone has been moving up dramatically, 30, 40 points since the announcement. One of the things that may be of interest to you is that when it's announced, I don't know when you're listening to this, it's going to be posted probably the day after the announcement is the first time you'll be able to listen to this podcast. But what's interesting to note is that they are doing the release of the iPhone 6 p.m. That's after the market closes. And I think what's going to happen here, and the reason that Apple's doing this, is that they want to make sure that if there is some fallout because of maybe a firmware update, which already there is going to be a mandatory update, whether it's going to be anything about the touchscreen or the reception, whatever it's going to be, they have the opportunity to be defensive and try to quell the issues over the weekend and before the stock opens on Monday. If they opened it and delivered it before market hours on a regular weekday, who knows if they would have the opportunity to really put out any of the fires that are out there, because this is a new device, a new entry into the market by Apple. So what I think is interesting and what you may want to consider is looking at some puts. If you're listening to this somewhere after the market has opened, and of course I'm doing this before the announcement of, or before the release of the iPhone, before 6 p.m. on Friday. So what I did for my clients is we bought puts. We bought the 110, the 105, and the 115 put. All of those are out of the money, and I don't do a lot of option play regularly, but it is a good way for you to leverage a lot of shares at a low cost. The risk on there is about $5,000 the way I set it up, and what I think is going to happen, and what potentially could happen, I should say, is that there's going to be a deflation in the stock because of the fact that, not because of Apple's a bad stock, because I think that, you know, you buy on the rumor, sell on the news. Well, when the news comes out, there may be some people a little bit disappointed and the stock may not do as well. You know, they're calling the iPhone the Jesus phone. They say it can do everything and even walk on water. You know, the fact is that it doesn't have a fast network, and without going to all the gobbledygook about, you know, everything about the phone, the bottom line is it is an excellent phone, but it's really more of a wonderful media player. So with that in mind, that's an interesting idea. I want to gloat for a moment, and I've been telling you for a long time, over a month and a half, that I think that Crocs, the shoes, those ugly, horrible shoes, is an overvalued stock. And I started telling you that when the stock was 92. It did split, but I started telling you to short the shares at 92. I wrote about it many, many times on my site. It was picked up on news all over the web, and I started to short it, and I started to buy puts, a big amount. It went up a little bit towards 94, and then just this week, when it hit its peak and wasn't moving beyond that, there was no news, it dropped precipitously. Crocs like really went down very, very fast, and right now it is about 41 and change as of when I'm recording this, which is the equivalent of 82 pre-split. And you look at that, that's about a 10-point move, huge move, about 12%. Or so on the stock, and I think that was something that was very apparent. And I want you to take some time to look at the website, the blog, and look at some of my discussion about why I thought that Crocs was a good sell or a short, because if you look at that and you understand why it was that I was looking at that, you look at the pent-up demand, you look at the fanaticism, you look at the people that are buying this. What happens here is that you are now becoming, if you did love it before, you're a lover scorned, and there's nothing as bad as that, to have an investor who is really upset about a stock. What happens is that they start selling just for, you know, essentially no reason. I think you may see the same thing with Apple, and that's why I bring that up, not only to talk about Crocs, but to talk about Apple. I think you may see the same thing when if there is a disappointment about the shares. You know, on that note, RIM came out, Research in Motion came out with some earnings, as well as Palm did tonight. Research in Motion, was up about 30 points after hours yesterday. And it's amazing that there is such demand for these smartphones, and that's the one issue that I'm concerned about with the Apple trade. All right, so moving along. IPOs. Have you noticed the Blackstone IPO? I mean, it is trading just about at or a little bit under the IPO price. There's been a lot of concern about this area, and I think that we're seeing sort of a top to this whole merger and acquisition, LBO / privatization boom. And if you look at this whole amazing transition that happened, Blackstone, which was the king of privatization, decides to go public. I mean, how weird is that? Got to keep my voice down. How weird is that? You know, we have a company that is just entrenched in privatizing, and they're talking about that's the best way to run a business, because with Sarbanes-Oxley and a few other components involved in the SEC regulated environment that stocks are in, you know, it's not a good thing. And now here we are with that company going public, cashing out, millions and millions of dollars being made by the directors and the founder shareholders. So I think that is starting to get really concerning and towards the point of calling a market top. Well, since I'm going to Russia, I thought we would talk about the idea of European investments. How are they doing? Are they a good thing? Shouldn't you be in it? Is it a part of a diversification process that you should have for your portfolio? Well, we're going to get to that in a second because I see that my drinks have arrived. Don't worry, I'm going to stay sober, but my drinks have arrived. And right after I can clear this up, I'll get right back to you, and we will, in fact, go over European investments on the Disciplined Investor at 35,000 feet above the Atlantic Ocean on my way to Northern Europe. We'll be right back, and thanks for listening.
Sir, can I get you a pillow or a drink?
If you like what you hear, we want to know. Go to our show's listing on either iTunes or your favorite podcast directory and leave us feedback and a rating. The more feedback we have, the higher our position on the charts. Think of it as the price of admission. It only takes a minute and helps us understand more about what interests you. Keep our blog and podcast popular, and we'll keep providing you with great investment ideas.
Золотые горы.
All right. I am ready to go and talking to you about some Northern European investments. And you know, when I look at investments and I look at the investments that are very difficult to deal with to understand, really what I like to do is utilize mutual funds. Now, for some people that may not be as exciting as the stocks that move pretty dramatically, but if you think about it, why not get the best of the best to monitor and to manage? Because you know, there's issues about, you know, currency, there's issues about language barriers, there's issues about regulation. This is a whole host of things that you as an individual are not able to do by yourself and not able to research or understand. So when we look at certain sectors, some of the small caps and the specialty areas, such as maybe some real estate and some very specific biotechs, and in the area of European investments, I like to look at mutual funds. There's a lot of them out there. And on the site in the show notes, I posted a couple of different graphics that show you some of the top mutual funds on a 3-month and a 1-year basis. Really some interesting stuff here. What I found really interesting was that the mutual funds that had the best performance over the last number of months, and specifically really in the recent period, have been the ones in Northern Europe. In fact, the best 3-month return as of 3 months from this date of this recording was the Fidelity Nordic. And if you think about it for a second, that makes a lot of sense. What is it in those areas that are making those investments do well? Primarily, it's the natural resources. Those countries are just full of natural resources, whether it's some oil, coal, iron and various pieces to make steel. The raw materials have been the greatest boom to this area, and their stocks have done well. For example, the Fidelity Nordic symbol FNORX, 3 months up 10.7%, year to date up 15%, and you look at a 5-year up 24%, just an amazing, amazing return. The next one in that's even close to that is the Mutual European Fund. On a 5-year basis, if you get outside of the areas of the Nordic, there are some great funds, but again, Eastern European, Russia, the Third Millennium Russia Fund up 35% on a 5-year basis, the AIM European Small Company up 37%. Now, what you want to do with this is, you don't want to overinvest, obviously. You want to make sure this is a part of your international exposure, and a good rule of thumb, depending on your risk, would be somewhere no higher than about a 20% international exposure. Now, let me give you a caveat. Remember that the dollar is very, very low in value compared to many of the European currencies. In fact, you know, I'm going to Moscow, and just a report I read yesterday was printed and released the highest expensed or the most costly cities in the world. And you know what number one is? Of course, Moscow. I mean, the dollar's not worth anything. it's going to cost a ruble and a half, or a ruble and a half, I should say, to actually buy anything there. But the reason for that is the inflation has been moving higher, and their general currency has been really staying very, very strong, and especially compared to the dollar that has been moving down. Some of the returns that you're seeing in these are hedged or unhedged currency returns, depending on how the portfolios work. But when you look at these and you look at the Profunds Europe up 15% on a five-year basis, again up 10% this year, and you just go through these, you're seeing just an amazing, amazing return. Again, the when you look at the majority of the high performers, they're all in the small cap, which gives it a much greater level of risk. But bear in mind that it makes a lot of sense to put a piece of the European, whether it's small cap or large cap, depending on your risk, and look at the investments as a good form of diversification, because they really don't work as the domestic markets do. They don't really correlate well with them, and that's a good thing. You want to have that in your portfolio, okay? Let me tell you some of the details about one I like, the Fidelity Nordic. First of all, it is a no-load fund, of course. It has a small yield, about a little less than 1%. It has a minimum initial purchase of about $2,500, and net assets approaching about $780 million. Really not a small fund, of course. Now, this investment, according to the site that I like to look at and where I find this, is moneycentral.com. Go to their mutual fund screener, and you can do a search and screen for European funds, particularly in this area. Now, this fund, the Fidelity Nordic Fund, is investing most of its assets in Danish, Finnish, Norwegian, and Swedish issuers, stocks of those countries. And mostly, of course, it's going to be in the mid-cap range as they see it. They have a high exposure to cyclical industries such as oil, shipping, and pulp and paper, and some small companies that have represent a larger percentage of the markets they have. But what you're looking at is also large positions in companies like Nokia and Ericsson, Norsk Hydro, DNB Nor. It's been around for a long time, and what you have here is a manager who, his name is Trygve Torak. And this manager knows the area. That's what you want. That's why I like it. So when you're looking at this area, I think it makes a lot of sense to diversify not only in a European area, but then take the sectors and take a few percentage, maybe a 5% piece of the overall portfolio, maybe a 15 to 20% piece of your European and international exposure to something like this. I think it makes a lot of sense. So take a look at the website on the show notes. There is a tremendous amount of information that you'll find on that. The other one that I wanted to look at is the U.S. Global Investors Eastern European Fund, symbol EUROX. It's been very, very successful in buying companies that capitalize on the region's appetite for cell phones, home mortgages, and energy. Now, the reason I want to get into this discussion is because I want to focus back on the cell phones. You know, we start out this podcast with a discussion about Apple and the iPhone. Well, taking a little sip of my drink here, take a couple of the warm nuts here, and hopefully they'll bring me maybe my little hot towel soon. But I digress. This fund, what's interesting about it and why I like it is this. There has been this amazing infrastructure and development in many of these countries of Eastern Europe. It started, I remember, back in Poland a number of years ago, where there was a need for phones. And if you wanted to get a phone in Poland, you had to have a very, very long ability to be patient. Because what happened was, you would put in your request and it would be about 7 years to get a phone. Really, I'm not kidding about that. 7 years to get a phone. Now, how do you do that? That's crazy, right? But what happened was, with the advent of cell phones, that seven-year wait became one day. People no longer had to wait for the telephone company to run a cable from wherever it was to the switching station to their homes. No longer was that a problem, and this amazing process of expansion of the communication in these countries by utilizing the cellular networks had started, and that's where we saw the explosion of Nokia, the explosion of companies like Ericsson, and the ability for many of these individuals there to really step up to the latest and greatest. They still have a far superior phone system than we have in the United States. You may not have thought of that, but the reality is they did so because they started from the ground up, where we did a retrofit of what we had already. They have a much faster network, the 3G all around. They have an amazing array of applications, and their cell phones are just incredible. Matter of fact, I'll put a couple of photos and some information about the cell phones on the show notes. I'll put that up so you can take a look at that. So this is not going to stop, because the explosion in many of the smaller countries now is continuing. And when and as the euro has consolidated and brought many of these countries together, what we have seen is just a tremendous boom in the area. Probably not going to be over very soon. So from 35,000 feet, giving you some ideas on where to pick up some, or what to pick up in the areas of northern European exposure for your portfolios. All right, we're going to close with this. I want to tell you a couple more things. First of all, finally, the book, July 30th. We're taking some pre-orders. If you want to go to get your copy, go to the mailbox, and there's going to be an area. Go to the website. It's going to say mailbox and book orders and trading. And what you can do is just say, yes, I'm interested in buying a book, and I want to make sure I get it. We're going to have a limited grouping of the first run. Everybody will get a signed copy of the first run. So if you want to put your name in now for pre-order, you're not going to be committed, but put it in so we know the indication of interest. That's number one. Number two, last podcast we had given away a free trading course with Cyber Trading University. Now, there was such an overwhelming desire for this. I just got bombarded with emails, and we sent them directly to Cyber Trading University. Fausto Puglisi signed them up, and we have some amazing feedback. Now, if you weren't part of that, first of all, you can subscribe to this podcast, and you can get the last podcast that we had called Day Trading University. But if you do want to take the opportunity to take an amazing class online, they take you live through the trading day. It starts at about 9 o'clock till 10, and in the afternoon you'll get about, I think from 3 to 4, you'll get a wrap-up. So in the morning and afternoon you have classes. It's totally free for the beginner's course. He's doing an amazing thing, giving this away to my listeners. Go over to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and go to the mailbox area and just sign up, and you'll get into the next trading course. So we'll make sure that information is sent out to you immediately. All right, so let me just give you a little taste of what's happening. Upcoming, we have Harry Dent, the great boom ahead. He is committed to doing a podcast coming up. We have Barry Ritholtz, who has, I think, the number one blog out there. And he is really well known. He's on CNBC, just really well read, and an amazing writer. So he's going to be on very shortly. And we're going to also have a follow-up to the Day Trading University and have some live trading videos on the site very shortly. So make sure you subscribe, tell your friends, and from way up over the deep blue sea, this is Andrew Horowitz signing off, and we'll be back soon. Please go over to imagesbyandrew.com, click on over to the travelogues, or take a look at the show notes. I'm going to put some links in there so you can follow along. Comment to me. I'd love to have you along with me on my trip throughout Northern Europe. Have a great day, and thanks for listening to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Next stop, Moscow. See you there.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in, and be sure to subscribe.